This is Chasing Wisdom, your source for conversation and serious ideas for those striving to become wiser leaders in business. Your host is Dr. Sam Serto. Sam is the Steinmetz Professor of Management in the Graduate School of Business at Rollins College in Winter Park, Florida. He also serves as a leader at Northland, a church distributed, located in Central Florida. Along with leaders from various fields, our goal is to provide practical wisdom for those navigating real-world business challenges. Welcome to this conversation about how to become a wiser leader in business, Bible, and life.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Sam Serto, and you're listening to the Chasing Wisdom podcast. Here, leaders talk about business, Bible, and life to help all of us become wiser leaders. Today, our guest is Tony Allen. Tony is a strategic storyteller, helping to turn client stories into live event experiences that build clients' brands. At Freeman XP, Tony leverages his 25-plus years of experience in almost every aspect of hospitality, marketing, and live event industries. His background includes business ownership, consulting, business development, entertainment, and substantial national and international event production. Tony's client list reads like a who's who of the corporate world and includes organizations like the NFL, Nike, HBO, ESPN, ABC, Coke, Disney, Make-A-Wish Foundation, and Arnold Palmer Hospital for Children. He has conducted business across the world, including China, Japan, Israel, Spain, France, UK, and Brazil. Tony serves as the founding chairman of the Responsibility Foundation, created to build a 305-feet-tall national monument and campaign. On top of all this, Tony was an international musical recording artist with top 40 dance hits in the U.S. and the U.K. He is also a second-degree black belt in the sport of Taekwondo. Most importantly, Tony is first a family man, a blessed husband to Amy and father to Dylan, 12, and Bailey, 9. Tony, welcome. It's great to have you here today.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
All right. So, an interesting fact. Tell us about your musical life, first of
my
all.
My musical life?
Yeah.
Well, my musical life started when I was born. I was born with a drum set in my room. I have a brother who's 8 years older than me who was very musical too. So, and we shared a room from the time I was born all the way up to today. Always been involved with music. We shared a room from the time I was born, and have been involved in music my entire life.
So all right.
It helped me pay my way through school, and it's always been it's part of my therapy.
Very good. Okay, tell us about Freeman XP, understanding that people that are listening are leaders in their own organizations, and for them to get an idea of what you're doing in terms of whether or not what you're doing is relevant to their leadership situation, it's usually good to outline what the circumstances are that you face.
Okay.
Tell us about the company Freeman XP and your role in it a little bit.
Well, Freeman is a great company, and this year they'll be celebrating their 90th year in business. I came on board with Freeman about 5 years ago, and prior to that I've been involved in many aspects of the meetings and events and event marketing business with many of different agencies that have been around for the past 20-something years. So I've also worked for Disney for 10 years. So it gave me a great background in entertainment and also large project management, and that's essentially what I do today as an executive producer, is project management for extremely large projects, worldwide projects.
Okay, good. Well, and you call yourself an experienced designer as well, and I know that's hard for a lot of us to wrap our heads around. Can you give us an example of a project that is either going on now or one that you have been involved with that sort of outlines the detail of your job situation?
Well, you're in good company because it's hard for me to even explain to my parents what I do. But the best way I know to describe it is Have you seen TED Talks?
Yes.
I'm the producer for TED.
Oh.
So I have had the opportunity to work with TED. I was a huge fan of TED Talks before I was involved with them, but have had the opportunity to work with them on some of their national and international projects. TEDx is a locally produced shows, but TEDx is their global events.
So, okay. Okay. Interesting. Very good. Incidentally, if you're interested in finding out much more about this company, the website is freemanxp.com. That's freemanxp.com. Okay, now you also are involved in a special project that's very interesting relating to Responsibility Foundation. And you're the founding chair of that
group,
correct?
Founding chair, yes.
Tell us a little bit about that. It's kind of a outside-the-job situation service that you do.
Yes, it's the Responsibility Foundation, the kind of the mission started with me in 1998, just to kind of my worldview. Saw a little something missing and trying to figure out for myself what that was and came to the conclusion that it was a lack of responsibility or a lack of understanding of the concept of responsibility, that it's not just something that just something that we have to do, but it is an essential part of what created the freedom and it created the nation, the greatest nation that has ever existed. And that is, you know, our nation that we live in. And I also learned that it's an essential part of freedom itself, that responsibility or liberty by itself is only half of the story and part of the truth,
okay.
That it's liberty plus responsibility equals freedom.
So you have an equation there for all math heads out there.
Yes, we've kind of over the years distilled it down into an equation. And it goes pretty deep, but I always describe it as if I had the entire intention of every young person in the world, and I often ask people this, if you had the attention of every young person in the world and you could teach them something in 5 minutes, what would you teach them?
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it would be to teach them the concept of responsibility, personal and social responsibility. Because anything that you do, success in anything that you do, begins with taking responsibility and taking ownership.
And your statue or your monument, which is the climax of all of this activity, is going to be on the West Coast?
It is. So I started on this journey and found out a little later on through just some crazy serendipitous circumstances that I shared this idea with another individual, and that is Viktor Frankl.
Okay.
Many people have read Viktor Frankl's book, Man's Search for Meaning. In the Library of Congress, there are 20 books that are considered the most influential books of all time. And one of those books is Viktor Frankl's book, Man's Search for Meaning. I found out later that he had written in that book, and I was honored to find out that I was thinking, had the same idea.
That's right.
As somebody who is that influential, we could never be articulated in the way that he did. But it was fantastic to let me know that we were on the right track. So I partnered with another organization that had started based on that same journey. And it eventually became the Responsibility Foundation. And not only we are creating a campaign to teach the next generation the concepts of responsibility in every aspect of their life, but also we want to erect a 305-foot statue, a sister statue to the Statue of Liberty on the West Coast as a bookend, and so that nobody ever forgets it.
And I've seen a visual of that statue, and it's kind of hand in hand.
It is. It is.
There's people with hands locked.
Yep.
Almost helping upward, one hand helping the other upward.
Yeah, there's a lot of symbolism there, and we are very blessed to have a sculptor, Gary Lee Price, is a world-class sculptor, and he designed the statue, and there's a tremendous amount of symbolism there, but it's instantly recognizable.
Okay, thank you. And if you're interested in more on that, responsibilityfoundation.org is a place you can go to find out more. Okay, let's move back to Freeman XP and let's get back into the work world. Not that that isn't work activity, but the work world as well. A few highlights. I know one of the things that you're interested in is finding good mentors and being a good mentor.
Absolutely.
What's the role of mentorship as one tries to become a wiser leader?
It's imperative. I mean, I have the opportunity to speak at universities a lot of times, and that's one of the points that I always make an effort to reiterate while at my talk, during my talks, is that find a good mentor. If you want to, basically, we all start out, especially out of college, with a lot of questions, and the relationships we make often determine the direction that we're going to go. So I had some fantastic mentors in my life when I first started out and just out of college in Pensacola, Florida. A great mentor for me was Bob Snow, who originally built Church Street Station down in downtown Orlando.
Sure.
That's what originally brought me to Orlando. And he came to me before I had ever had my first suit and asked me, "Do you have a suit?" And I said, "Well, I have this brown corduroy jacket with the patches on the sleeves my dad gave me." He said, "No, you need to have a suit by tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock, and you need to be here. We have a meeting at 7 o'clock." I had no idea. And I would come in and sit in meetings like he did this a number of times, but would sit in meetings with him and Ted Turner, having no business whatsoever being in the meeting, but just be there to absorb it. So he was one of my first mentors and was just fantastic for me. And it's so important not only for the mentee, but also for the mentor.
You know, one of the things that that we do here, actually the whole purpose of this podcast series, is how you put business and Bible together, and how a wiser leader is one who continues to try to develop biblical ideas in the workplace and apply them in the workplace in order for that workplace to become more successful. Tell us about how your faith exists and how you try to carry it into the workplace.
Well, my faith exists. My family went to church early on. I attended church as a child, kind of like many do, get away from it, and wanted to succeed in the world. And learned getting out of college and having a desire to be successful. Started reading self-help books and everything else, It just became very obvious to me that all the wisdom and all the self-help books and all the leadership books that I could possibly read went back to biblical principles. And that kind of led me to adopting principles for me to follow, regardless of if it's running a project or a company or really a city or a nation. There are biblical principles that are the foundation for all leadership principles.
You know, it's interesting that you mention that, because I've noted the same thing in my profession, in that there are people doing research on how you treat employees, and the conclusions that they come to have already been written in Scripture long, long time ago.
It's absolutely true.
Yeah, it's true.
It's absolutely true.
Now, you manage temporary work groups.
Yes.
They come together for projects, then they disband, then come together, then disband. And that's a pretty challenging activity, I would think.
It is. It's the motivating and inspiring temporary teams. And teams that I have can be as small as six people for a project, or maybe as large as 100 or 200 people, depending on the project. And they have different lengths. But every time, one of the biggest challenges is motivating that team, getting them up to speed, and getting them to buy into what we're doing, and motivating them to deliver what we promised that we would deliver.
I know that one of the philosophies or topics that you're interested in terms of application as a leader has to do with unity of purpose.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And tell us about, in your leadership experience, how you, first of all, the importance of unity of purpose, and then how you try to develop that within work teams.
Well, there's a top eight that I usually have that I've kind of adopted over the years. I've written down success principles, and there was a great friend that I met who is a special forces leader. Mm-hmm. His name is Tim Burke. He was a special forces commander, one of the most successful that I've ever seen, and I believe, and I may be getting this wrong, and it may be legend, but it's from what I remember of him having 70 missions and never losing a man and never failing a mission. And he's been quite successful not only in his military career, but also afterward in his business career. And he kind of distilled down the principles that I had over the years into a top 10 that I've now adopted as my top 8. And it doesn't matter if that's if you're running a family or you're running a church or you're running a business or a nation, they apply.
We have a feature called Sunday to Monday in each podcast. And it has to do with scripture, some verse, what you might hear in church on a Sunday that you could take and apply Monday and through the rest mm-hmm. of the work week, actually your work life. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at a verse, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, and it basically says, finally, all of you be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate, and be humble. And I'm looking at the like-mindedness in that verse. It seems like there are so many implications for wise leadership just in that one verse. Is that the theme that you're talking about?
It is. Well, that's the number one in order of priority. That's the number one in my top 8, and that is unity of purpose, having a team attitude or a team culture. And not only is it 1 Peter 3:8, but also in Philippians 2:2, as fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded. And also 2 Corinthians 13:11, it also says, finally, brethren, farewell, be perfect, be good, be in good comfort, be of one mind. And it's mentioned many other times throughout the Bible that it starts with being of like mind. And that's the same as if you want to develop a culture, that's the first thing you do. And it also, the one we all remember is, without vision, the people perish.
Right.
So
right.
It goes back to that.
Correct. Tell us a little bit about the dysfunction that exists in an organization when you aren't of like mind. Before you get the perishing.
Yes.
In the organization's
exactly.
Gone. What are some things that a leader might see happen as a result of a diversity of mindedness as opposed to like-mindedness?
Well, if there is not like-mindedness, if you're not all shooting for the same goal, there's going to be different priorities, people moving in different directions to achieve those priorities. And that's one of the biggest things that when I have a group, one of the first things that I do is when we have our kickoff meeting, is to state what the vision is, what the intent is, the end result. And with every nowadays, with every order that comes down from the president, from anyone else, there is something at the top of every single order in the military and through our government, and it's called a CI. Have you ever heard of the
CI? No, tell us what that
CI is. CI is the commander's intent.
Okay.
So what we found out with the way, the speed at which our world moves now, if you were given an order, by the time down the chain that order is put into place, many times the situation has changed.
Hmm.
So what they found out is that you have to empower that very last person to make decisions on their own.
Okay.
They can't do that unless they know what the original intent is. So a CI is the commander's intent. So it's about the size of a tweet that goes at the top of every order, every command. And I state the same thing through business, is that we distill it down into a single sentence what the intent of that show or that project or anything else
wow.
is.
Very practical. You know, we also have another feature called Pearl of Wisdom. And each podcast sort of ends with not necessarily a summary statement, but something that the guest leader would like to leave with the audience to give them a practical thought for the day in their careers. Tony, what would that pearl of wisdom be for you?
It would have to be, I know that we discussed this a little bit. That pearl of wisdom for me would be that you were made right. That I have a dear friend, Kenan Birch, who started the Dream Builders Network that I'm a member of. And Kenan always asked a question. He said, what promise did God make the world when he made you? And that would be kind of my pearl of wisdom is to answer that question. We were all made perfect. And that's the way God sees us, whether we see that in ourselves or not. You know, is to take that verse, take that question, what does God think about when he thinks about you? Or what promise did God make the world when he made you?
Those are awesome questions. And if you do the introspection related to those questions, the answer should be pretty powerful for each individual in terms of becoming a wiser person and a leader who has impact.
Yeah.
Very good. Very good. Well, Tony, I'm sorry, but time is up. Thank you so much for being here today.
It's my pleasure.
Listeners can get in touch with Tony by using the email address tony.allen, A-L-L-E-N, at freemanxp.com. Thanks to all of you for being here on Wisdom Wednesday. You can keep in touch with me on Facebook at chasing.wisdom or my website, chasewisdom.com. See you next Wednesday. In the meantime, you already know what I'm going to say. Keep chasing. God bless.
You've been listening to Chasing Wisdom with host Dr. Sam Serto. We would love to hear from you regarding this podcast. You can reach us at northlandchurch.net/chasingwisdom. We will be here each Wednesday with a fresh look at being a wiser leader in business, Bible, and life. Want to reach out to Dr. Serto? Email him at sserto@rollins.edu.